1057 The Hawk, classic rock for the Jersey Shore. The most Titanic of Titanic songs, Thunder Road, here on the Bruce Brunch at 1057 The Hawk. Tom Cunningham, good morning. And live in our studio, Max Weinberg. Mighty Max, thanks for making the trip over here this morning.
Well, it's great to be with you, Tom, on this beautiful, sultry Sunday morning at the Jersey Shore.
It certainly feels like home, doesn't it, today?
It does, yes.
Now, you're in Friday night in Red Bank at the Two River Theater with the big band.
Yes, well, the Two River Theater is a wonderful theater.
I know, the Count Basie.
We will be appearing at the Count Basie Theater.
Our thing's the week after that at the Two River Theater. I've lost my mind here this
morning. Count Basie Theater, Friday night, June 11th, in a concert for the Joan Dancy ALS Foundation, which I'm very pleased, very honored to be a part of this year. It's become an annual tradition, this concert and the foundation founded by our dear departed friend Terry McGovern in honor of his wife Joan Dancy. And this should be quite a show, very different music, I think, that people will be hearing from what they can expect from the kind of things I do. This is big band jazz, swinging jazz, 15-piece horn band, 12 horns, drums, piano, and bass, acoustic bass, wonderful players, the best that New York and New Jersey area has to offer. It is called the Max Weinberg Big Band. Actually, it's often been referred to around my house as the Max Weinberg Big Expensive Band. It's a huge band. You can understand why the big band era kind of dwindled and three and four or five-piece combos came into popularity in the 50s. But I love doing this. I'm having an absolute ball.
Now, you performed once with the big band at the Fontainebleau Hotel.
We debuted at the Fontainebleau Hotel, which was, of course, the center of action in the 50s and 60s for Frank Sinatra and his pals. And that was unbelievable. It was right before Christmas this past year, and it was the West Coast version of this band. And the music that we're playing is some of the stuff that I grew up with, some of my favorite mid-60s approach big band music. This isn't sort of swing and sway. This is sort of music that will absolutely rock you. It's as close to rock and roll as big band jazz can get.
Now, you'll be at the Count Basie Theater. Will be performing any Count Basie numbers?
That's a great question, Tom. Actually, yeah, we'll be performing at the Count Basie Theater, as I said earlier, this coming Friday on June 11th, in a benefit. And we're going to be playing several Count Basie tunes, one in particular called The Kid from Red Bank. And as many people know, some people might not know Count Basie, the legendary pianist, impresario, and band leader from the 1930s up through the late 70s. Was born in Red Bank, New Jersey. And I don't think this song has been performed in Red Bank by any big band aggregation ever.
So it'll be
sort of making its debut there.
One of my favorite Count Basie songs is, in fact, called Red Bank Boogie, which is a song that I just completely love.
He had a long association with Red Bank. Yeah. Of course, he made his reputation in the 30s in the Kansas City and the Midwest area. I think it's very appropriate that both they named the theater the Count Basie and that we'll be playing this kind of music. You know, Tom, when I debuted the band last December, it became clear to me that there is a pent-up demand for this kind of big band swing jazz music. There's no vocals, there's no guitar. It is very much in the mold of the Count Basie band, the Buddy Rich Orchestra, who was my favorite drummer, Maynard Ferguson, Stan Kenton, the kind of music that you would have heard if you had turned on a variety show in the 1960s, and you would have often seen the Louis Belson, the great drummer, play, mm-hmm. or Duke Ellington, and of course Count Basie. When I put the band together for the original late-night program with Conan O'Brien, the idea was a horn band that paid an homage to the Doc Severinsen Tonight Show Orchestra, in my view, the best band that ever held down a residency on television.
Now, I grew up in a house where the Dorsey brothers, Tommy Dorsey, Jimmy Dorsey, My father will still talk about seeing Jimmy Dorsey at Convention Hall in Asbury Park. So a house filled with this music. Is that the way you grew up? Did you hear this stuff as a kid?
No, I didn't actually hear big band music as a child. I was in a family that was very attuned to Broadway musicals and, believe it or not, country and Western music. So I very naturally gravitated towards the beat of rock and roll and the sort of excess of the Broadway musical approach. I always enjoyed listening to, you know, the bands that, as I mentioned before, that were on variety shows in the 60s, whether it was the Sammy Davis Jr. show or Frank Sinatra had a short-lived show in the late 50s. But I wasn't terribly influenced by it at that point. For me, it was all rock and roll. Elvis was, of course, very big in my household. I had two teenage sisters when I was a little boy. But as I got older, I started to investigate that vocabulary music. And then when I had the TV band, my idea in conceiving that band was to play rock songs all with a swing beat. And that kind of naturally led me into a deeper discovery and appreciation of the music that had gone on 25, 30 years before.
Now, in the current edition of this Max Weinberg Big Band, are there any names and people familiar to us?
No.
Okay.
This is a brand new band of the top studio players in New York. There's no one except the bass player, Carlito Puertos, who's originally from Havana, Cuba, lives in Los Angeles. There's no one that would be familiar to anyone who's familiar with the Max Weinberg Big Band.
Max Weinberg here this morning with us on 105.7 The Hawk, appearing Friday night at the Count Basie Theater on Monmouth Street in Red Bank for a special benefit show for the Count Basie Theater Foundation and Joan Dancy and Pals to fight the insidious disease of Lou Gehrig's disease. And Joan was an angel. Joan's angels are part of the Pals thing. And Terry McGovern, boy, what a wonderful gesture and thing he did after Joan's passing to start the Pals thing. So you're doing some good work there, sir. Now, tickets are available.
Some tickets are available, yeah. I think the Count Basie seats about 1,400. I think they probably have 100, 150 tickets left. We're hoping for a sellout. We hope that people come down and see what we're doing. And, in Red Bank, New Jersey, you never know exactly what's going to happen. I do know that we have about 75 minutes of this swinging music prepared. Like I said, you just never know.
You know, especially at the Count Basie Theater. I'm going to keep saying the Count Basie Theater about 800 times here. Now, they've refurbished the place. Have you been in there?
I have. They have been refurbishing the place for many years, and part of the proceeds of this go to furthering that effort to bring it back to its glory. Count Basie has an unbelievable history. It was the Carlton Theater.
Right.
It was the Monmouth Arts Center for a long time. I had my wife and I had the extreme pleasure of actually going there one night for a one-man show by Cary Grant.
Wow.
Which was, I don't even remember when it was. I know it was in the late 80s, early 90s, and it was an amazing show. What was interesting, apart from the show, was the fact that when he came over from England as Archie Leach, before he became Cary Grant, he performed at the Count Basie Theater back in the early days of vaudeville.
Wow.
And his idea was, when he was in the autumn of his career and his life, was to revisit all those places he had played. And it was basically a lecture with film clips and questions and answers. So through the years, the Count Basie has presented in a tremendous variety of entertainment. It is a wonderful asset for the people of not only Monmouth County, but this region of New Jersey.
Now, when the Tonight Show moved to L.A., you never fully committed to living there. You always stayed here, didn't you?
Well, I have a house out in Los Angeles, but, it's very hard to take both the boy out of Jersey and Jersey out of the boy. So I brought a bit of Jersey with me when I went to Los Angeles. No, I always maintained my house in Middletown.
And
this is home.
Yeah. You had a front row seat for one of the most bizarre instances in American media to watch what happened between Conan and Jay Leno. What was that like?
Well, the situation over at our former network was quite a debacle. Came as quite a surprise and a shock to everybody. Knowing the players, maybe perhaps it wasn't such a terrible shock. It was quite unfortunate. Certainly, I think, in the history of broadcasting, Conan, who is monumentally successful. And by the way, I was privileged to play a song with my old band the other night at Radio City. And Conan has never done an hour stand-up show, and he was killing. He was so funny. I mean, if you know the guy personally, he is the most hysterical person and a very sharp humor and wit. And I think he's got a whole new career as a stand-up touring around because, you know, there were 7,000 people in Radio City, right. Two sold-out shows. And he just, you know, he's a big gangly guy, and he filled that room. He held it, and it was marvelous. It was really quite a fantastic show. I had a great time playing. But, you know, TV is a difficult, treacherous, often landscape. We were fortunate to, on that platform, negotiate that landscape for 17 years. For me, it was wonderful. It was people often remarked I had the best of both worlds in that I had a real steady day job on television, mm-hmm. and then I'd go off and play with Bruce and the E Street Band. And, you know, in the last 10 years, Bruce and the band we've played more than we did in the previous 20. In fact, the last several years, it was almost, for us, being constantly at work between two records right. and two tours. One of the real pleasing things for me with being on television for all those years was the fact that I didn't have to go on the road, and I could be the father that I wanted to become and participate fully in the raising of my children, Allie and Jay. So now they're off on their own. It's the perfect opportunity for me to go back on the road, and I very much am looking forward to performing in this context with the big band, the 15-piece band. And we start a tour on the 11th at the Count Basie in Red Bank, and then we go on to Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. We'll be in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. We're going basically kind of in a ziggurat from here to San Francisco right. over the next 6 weeks.
How do you haul around all these people and all these musical instruments?
In my fabulous rock star jet. What do you think?
I forgot. You're living the dream over there.
No, we get on a bus, you know, very similar to the Coast Cities bus that goes from where we're right now to right. New York. No beds on this bus, all seats. This is the time-honored way of big bands getting around. We don't have a lot of equipment. It's almost all acoustic. In fact, it is acoustic. So we do carry a small bass amp in case, you know, along the way anybody with a guitar might show up. And you never know when that might happen. But, you know, you have a cargo bay underneath, and you get on the bus. And it's exactly the way I started with Bruce and the E Street Band. Actually, by the time Bruce and the E Street Band got a bus, that was like the height of luxury for us right. because we started in Gary Talent's 65, I think it was, Chevrolet. So, you know, bus isn't bad. I'm always happy to ride the bus. If at the other end of that bus ride, I get off to play the drums.
Right. Now, reading the most recent edition of Backstreet's Magazine, a lovely tribute to Danny Federici, and some great insights from you, and a lot of the funny stuff comes from the early days on the bus and the cars, and just some great stories there.
Well, Danny, who is as present in our hearts and minds as he always was, and a huge blow personally to all of us, and you know, musically as well. Charlie Giordano's done a phenomenal job. Yeah. Picking up that mantle in the E Street Band. But, you know, Danny was very, very unique as an individual and as a musician. And, you know, people have often wrote about Danny's ability to put the boardwalk in Bruce's music, and he really did. He was one of a kind. You know, there are in the new issue of Backstreet, which I read. I find it very both informative, very entertaining. The guys there do a really, really good job. Particularly with the hardcover magazine, I think it's really very well done. There are a lot of particularly the early stories of, you know, traveling on the bus and what it was like, and
the hijinks.
Danny got his nickname the Phantom. So we miss him terribly. Think about him all the time, and you know, he certainly not only in our memory but in that unbelievable body of music he in large measure so helped to create and was such a big part of.
The sound.
Yeah. Well, a big part of that sound, you know.
The sound Friday night at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, Max Weinberg's big band. You'll do Sinatra songs?
We do a few tunes that were made popular by Frank Sinatra, right. Who is had the great fortune once of meeting him at the Garden State Arts Center. And I believe it was the Garden State Arts Center right. When I did meet him at right. That time. Right. And that was a big thrill. And I was introduced to Mr. Sinatra by his drummer of 40 years, Irv Kotler, who was one of the great big band drummers and recorded and toured with Sinatra for so long. And we were friends through drum circles. And it was a fabulous moment of meeting him there right before they played. And when I was introduced in the context of being a New Jersey drummer, Mr. Sinatra said, "Oh, don't get me started on drummers. You know, I was in the Dorsey band." He said, "Oh, you know who I roomed with?" And I said, "Oh, of course, Mr. Sinatra, you roomed with Buddy Rich." He said, "Like I said, don't get me started on drummers." And of course, he and Buddy Rich were friends for their entire careers and lives. But it was really interesting because he immediately went from being, you know, big letter Frank Sinatra to being a Jersey musician, right. Talking about all the musicians he'd come up with and some of the places he played. And that meeting lasted about 5 minutes. And Irv went on to start playing the overture with the band. And he was still standing on the stage. And finally, he had to go, that's my cue. He heard something in the music. And he started to walk through the side of the curtain. Right. And he turned around and he looked at me. And it was classic. I'll never forget it. He said, "Hey, kid, say hi to your boss." And that was classic Frank Sinatra.
And you go to Jimmy's in Asbury, and the picture of him on the wall there is just priceless. And you talk about Count Basie, and the Sinatra sans Count Basie record is something that everyone should own. It's just a monumental record.
Well, it is. You know, when you get into the canon of Frank Sinatra and Count Basie, and that era of musicians, when you could typically see groups like this, you know, at a club, it is a phenomenal slice of Americana. Yeah. And I had the great fortune of seeing Sammy Davis Jr. in 1965 with the Count Basie Orchestra.
Wow.
In New Jersey, actually, at Seton Hall in South Orange. And he was on stage for about 3 hours. And I can remember, apart from being blown away by Sammy Davis's performance and that orchestra, I was thinking to myself, how can anybody perform in front of an audience for 3 hours? Well, I found out.
Yes, you did. Now, a couple weeks away here, we've got a special screening of the DVD coming out, London Calling, Live in Hyde Park, which you star in.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. What are your memories about that show? It looked just like a massive sea of people.
It was a sea of people. It was really great. Great show. We had played the night before at the Glastonbury Festival, yeah. And I flew straight over there from Los Angeles. So I don't know what time zone I was in, but what was interesting about first Glastonbury was that I think it was the first year in its history that it didn't rain. And it was a gorgeous night. And we were preceded on stage by Spinal Tap. So I thought that was fairly appropriate for how everyone was feeling jet-lagged, etc. The next night was London Hyde Park. And, of course, the Rolling Stones played their famous concert in 1969 in Hyde Park. So you sort of felt connected to that fabric of British rock and roll, which so influenced us. And as I remember, it was, you know, the beginning of that sort of summer, early summer tour, and it was a wonderful concert, a real classic, and you know, opening with London Calling, which I don't think we'd ever played. We may have played it the night before
in Philly. It played it in Philly. Actually, it was a sign request.
That may have been my son playing on it, too. I'm not sure, but, you know, my son filled in for me with the E Street Band and did an unbelievable job. Jay's an incredible drummer, plays in a group called Madball.
Oh, they're no longer the Reveling?
Well, no, this is a long-established hardcore metal band called Madball. They're from New York City. They're quite a bit. They're about twice as old as Jay is, but they don't play that. They are amazing. They have a very dedicated fan base, and it's very complicated music, but I think that when people do see this Hyde Park show, you know, one of the things about playing at the beginning of a tour is that you haven't played for a few weeks, so everything's very fresh. We try to bring it fresh every night, but, you know, you walk out there and there's several hundred thousand people, and you're filming, and you're jet lagged, and maybe you haven't eaten, and there's no pressure. it was a lot of fun. I'm glad that that's coming out on DVD.
Well, we're looking forward to having some folks join us for a premiere here in a couple weeks. Max Weinberg, thank you, sir. What's the future for you past this tour?
This tour with my big expensive band.
The big expensive band tour.
Well, I'm just going to keep playing. We are taking engagements now through August of 2011. Many of the jazz places we play, and these are festivals in Europe, which I'm very much looking forward to. I expect to, my mandate to my agency, who is located in Chicago, was, you know, my wife Becky and I, who are now coming up on 33 years being together, are empty nesters.
Right.
My daughter Allie works for MSNBC and the White House contingent down there, and she's a journalist. Jay is a doing wonderfully well at Stevens Institute and playing rock and roll his way. So we're empty nesters. So as I said earlier, you know, in a moment of seriousness, it was great to be able to have a day job such as I did all those years in TV to stay home and be a father. So now they're out of the house. I'm going to do what I know best, which is stay on the road. I told my agency over the next year I want to play 180 days. That's 6 months. Off and on throughout the year, and they're doing quite well and in working that out for me. So I fully expect to be this tour we're doing, which ends at the beginning of July, from here to the West Coast, is really to sort of introduce this chapter of my musical life, to publicize the band a bit, and we'll continue to play. We'll be in New York sometime in the fall for an extended engagement at a you know, well-known club in New York. And we're starting small, and this is a sort of starting at the ground level effort, which is very exciting to me. I just turned 59, and to be able to chart new musical paths for myself, that's sort of what it's about. You know, at one point in after the, as it turned out, temporary dissolution of the E Street Band in the late 80s, I didn't drum at all, and I really missed it. I ended up really missing it. And I said, no matter what else I do in my life, and this was way before I hooked up on TV, no matter what else I do, it all comes from drumming. And so no matter what else I do, there's going to be a drumming component. I'm very much looking forward to the next experience of Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band. I know Nils has been on this program with you talking about how precious that entity has become to all of us the older we get.
Right.
And it's absolutely true. You know, so I think there'll be more rather than less coming from us. Never have a timetable because, you know, we're sort of like the mythical town of Brigadoon, you know, this, if you're familiar with that Broadway show, you know, a town that appears every 100 years out of the mists. I've always thought of the E Street Band that way. And, you know, I'm fairly confident that people will be hearing something new and different. And also what they've come to expect from us.
Now, you and Steven just were down with Clarence in Florida last month.
Yeah, about a month ago.
How is the big man doing?
The big man seems to be doing well. He's big. He's strong. He's, you know, of course, larger than life and has an incredible outlook on life. He played well. It was a benefit for an organization, HomeSafe, that he's been involved with for many years, and it was sort of his retirement from that organization, and he's going to devote himself to playing and fishing, which are his two great
loves.
And
why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He very much looking for, you know, working out and very much looking forward to the next go-around with Bruce and the E Street Band. And, you know, as long as you can play... you know, the interesting thing for us is we're getting now, all of us, to the age where we're kind of like old athletes, and the injuries, and all of us have them, you know, are present. But you break through that, and you push. I mean, Gordie Howe played hockey into his, he came back when he was 64 years old, I can't imagine doing that. Right. But, you know, playing drums with Bruce Springsteen is a little bit like that. I've had my share of surgeries. You know, you just get up there, and the beauty of it is that no matter what you're physically feeling, emotionally and spiritually, you're 14 years old. Now, that can get you into trouble physically, but it certainly is the way we approach what we do. No holds barred and right in your face. And, you know, I just think that it's, you know, now that I can devote myself full time to not having to hold down two jobs, I can't wait for the next Bruce and the E Street Band tour. And I have a feeling I'll be pleasantly surprised when that rolls around.
So Friday night, Max Weinberg's big band, Count Basie Theater, Mama Street in Red Bank.
That's right. Get there early, stay late. You're going to have a good time.
Now, I blew you away a little bit with this.
Oh, yeah.
I love this version of this song. Bruce's surf instrumental, Summer on Signal Hill, which you did a version of with some amazing people back in the early 90s.
Well, it was a pleasure to do that. I always loved that song. We recorded it, Bruce and the E Street Band, in a very impromptu session in the 80s. And then Clarence re-recorded it for his, I think, his first solo single.
B-side,
it was
right.
A B-side. And I always loved the song. And I thought, you know, it always reminded me of, melodically, of a combination of the Beach Boys, the Ventures, and Percy Faith. you know, which is one of my favorite songs, Theme from a Summer Place. So in 1991, when I was associated with Music Masters, which is a local Jersey Shore big record club, we did a benefit song for the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Monmouth County this summer on Signal Hill, and had a bunch of people come and play. John Bon Jovi, Steve Van Zandt played,
Beach
an incredible
Boys,
guitar star,
Branford Marsalis.
Yeah,
this beautiful side, the strings thing going on here.
And we had some, apart from those people, we had some well-known names, too. No, I'm kidding. Branford Marsalis, Steve Van Zandt, John Bon Jovi.
Steve Mighty Max on drums.
Well, I played the drums, yeah. Incredible guitar solo by Steve, and it's a very sweet record.
Yeah. And it's a steamy, sultry, summer-like day today, so...
I think we should play it.
We're going to play it. Max, I can't thank you enough for coming by, spending time with us today. Good luck with the big band.
Thank you, Tom.
And we will see you Friday night at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank. All right, and we'll catch you back here next Sunday. Mr. Scott Ferguson, a very fine and patient man, ready to come in here and rock your Sunday silly next. And remember to enter the drawing to win tickets to the screening of Live in Hyde Park, London Calling, brucebrunch@AOL.com. We'll get that done. Include your name, address, phone number, and date of birth, two favorite Bruce Springsteen songs. Thank you. And this is Max and Friends from early 90s and Bruce's Summer on Signal Hill. See you next week.
at the epicenter of the classic rock universe. This is 105.7 The Hawk. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore.